Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Monday, December the 4th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And we will be reading from the Big Book. We're on page XVIII, forward to the second edition, first paragraph. In the spring of 1940, John D. Rockefeller, ending with AA had become a national institution, and we're commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Anita L. for the 12 Steps, Alex K. for the 12 Traditions, and the readers of the text are Joan Marie M. and Lorraine N. The share ID for Sunday, December the 3rd, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,901. That's 20901. And for this morning's meeting, Monday, December the 4th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time is 20,902. That's 20902. Our newcomer greeter is Laura W., and our announcements person is Lois P., the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Anita L. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Anita.
Good morning, everybody. This is Anita L. from outside of Philadelphia, currently in Toronto, Canada. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. Have a great day, everybody, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Alex K. That was Anita L. Now I will ask Alex K. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Alex.
Thank you, Mo. Morning, everyone. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, gratefully recovered just for today. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. or leaders are but trust servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. Grateful to do service.
Thank you very much, Alex K. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. Again, to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page XVIII, and we're in the first paragraph down. It begins with, in the spring of 1940, John D. Rockefeller, Jr., and it ends with, AA had become a national institution. And I will now ask Joan Marie to get us started. Good morning, Joan Marie.
Good morning, Mo. Yes, very grateful. In the spring of 1940, John D. Rockefeller Jr. gave a dinner for many of his friends, to which he invited AA members to tell their stories. News of this got around the world wires. Inquiries poured in again, and many people went to the bookstore to get the book, Alcoholics Anonymous. By March of 1941, the membership had shot up to 2,000. Then John Alexander wrote a feature article in the Saturday Evening Post and played such a compelling pace. A compelling picture of AA before the general public that alcoholics in need of help really deluge us. By the close of 1941, AA members 8,000 members. The mushrooming process was in full swing. AA had become a national institution. What a powerful program. What a powerful program. What a powerful paragraph. And every one of them in this book is. And what I get out of it is how we come from different walks of life, but we have this one thing in common. And I forgot to introduce myself, Joan Marie M., a very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater, and very grateful. What I heard today was compassion is an attitude for pride, is an antidote for pride. I love that. So as we give our stories, we become the message. We are the message. And as we tell our stories, people can give hope to the hopeless, hope that there is an answer, there is a solution, and it is in this book. And that's why I'm so grateful to the first-timers, the pioneers of this program that brought this forth. And look at how we are blessed today with so many avenues of being able. I mean, there's a meeting anytime you want, any time of the day and night. And they didn't have that. I mean, they barely had the book. It just started to be published and brought to the bookstores. So with that, I'm so grateful to the founding fathers who were painstaking. They went beyond beyond anything that could be imaginable, that they were willing to get this message out because their hearts were so full with gratitude and compassion for fellow sufferers. And as we share our stories today, our recovery today, no matter where we're at in our recovery today, if you're reading this book, if you're listening to this book, you're in recovery, you're on your road, you may be in the hospitalization period, but you're on the way to recovery. So with that, I pass. Thank you all for helping me be abstinent and recovered today, and I pass.
And thank you very much, Joan Marie, for getting us started. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So we're on page XVIII, forward to the second edition. In the first paragraph, in the spring of 1940, John D. Rockefeller, and it ends with AA had become a national institution. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Gary G,
did I get?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, who else?
Jody E.
Jody, gotcha.
Jan L.
Jan L.
Gloria H.
Gloria H.
Barbara A.
Barbara A. I could take one more if anybody else would like to jump in there. If not, we'll go with that lineup. Okay, I have Carrie G, Jody E, Jan L, Gloria H, and Barbara A. Everyone else mute your line except Carrie. Good morning, Carrie.
Good morning. Happy Monday. This is Carrie G in Colorado, gratefully recovered and gratefully a member of this Vision for You. I am inspired to think of a time, an experience I had. Went to the World Service Business Conference in Albuquerque before the pandemic with some OA fellows, and the line, news of this got on the world wires. I had a fellow that I carpooled down to Albuquerque with, and she was so inspired about how could we get more coverage. And isn't it so inspiring that the foreword to the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous was talking about the world wires, and back then, back, you know, in the 40s, and how could we today, with all of the technology that we have, be more out there to help more sufferers, because so many of us suffer. And so I love that we stand on the shoulder of giants, and that the mushrooming process of this book was so prevalent and has helped so many millions of people around the world, and that Roseanne reads from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous at early OA events, and that we study this book so with such reverence here on these lines. I'm very, very grateful that we go line by line and paragraph by paragraph to honor these words, and that way we can, the news of our recovery can go out on these wires. And I'm so grateful to be here. Thanks for letting me share with that, Akash.
Thank you, Carrie G. Up next is Jody E., followed by Jan L. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in Monterey, California. So here we are in the early 1940s. The book was published in 1939, I believe. So it hasn't been long, a year or two, and the mushrooming process is in full swing already. AA has become a national institution. And how can this be? How can this so quickly become a national institution? Well, people are recovering. People are recovering. And if I want to be an attraction to this program, I too need to recover so that I can be an attraction. That's what works when we recover. One of our members says, when we ask about how can I help this person or the other person who's suffering from this disease, he says, recover, recover, recover. That's what creates the attraction more than anything else. It's not me proselytizing about it. It's me showing it. When I truly recover, people notice. They notice the tone of my voice, my energy. Those are the things that people really notice. And if they're open and they are ready, they will be attracted. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. And that's what this particular meeting, A Vision for You, was for me. Some 10 or 12 years ago now, feels like 12 years ago, here was a group of people who had recovered. Wow, what a strong word, especially with this disease, which is so cunning and so baffling and powerful. But to see people recover has had an electric effect for many of us. And this meeting has grown and continues to grow as long as we keep recovering, which we do, thanks to this book and entire abstinence. Entire abstinence from our alcoholic foods and these 12 steps as they are suggested to be worked in this book. This is the solution. And I, too, am very, very grateful. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jody E. Next is Jan L., followed by Gloria H. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Jan L. in Florida. I'm so grateful to be here and to be recovered. This paragraph talks about AA members to tell their stories. Their stories of recovery, as others have mentioned. This is the heart of the program. This is the attraction. This is what attracted me to Vision when I was first introduced to it 25 years after I first came to OA. I wasn't ready then, and I had had periods of what I called recovery, but they never sustained me. It was never enough. Of course, with this insidious disease, there was a lot of self-blame, et cetera, a lot of self, because I thought I would not ever be able to stay. I didn't know there was being recovered. And so then I came back to vision. You know, I wasn't quite ready to do all of it, most of it. I had a lot of recovery still, but no, it was not sustainable. Then about a couple of months ago, I became fully ready to do anything, everything. The last things that I was not ready to do, I thought I knew better. And it's a blessing. So now I have my story. And there are so many others who went a very long time like me and who are still wondering if it's ever possible. Well, I've found that it is. And I'm so grateful for this book because the only way I can recover is through this big book, Recovery. All my other attempts were not enough for this compulsive eater. So this God-inspired program back in the 40s, that's how it succeeded, because people recovered and because God set this ball rolling, I believe, to bring people closer to Him or higher power or whatever you want to think about that. So I'm just super grateful to be recovered and working every day. I wake up every day untreated, as a dear friend says. So it's time to start over and get recovered and take the action. Thank you all. Blessings. That's it. I'll pass.
Thank you, Jan L. Up next is Gloria H., followed by Barbara A., and after Barbara, I'll take another lineup of names. Good morning, Gloria.
Good morning. Gloria H. from Charlotte, North Carolina, obsessive compulsive overeater, working on my recovery, and happy to be here. And this paragraph to me, everything means something different than I may be the abstract thinker and how it relates to me with my food and alcoholism. This 1940 and 1960 is only 20 years apart, and then 1965, 1966, when my husband was drinking, we used to always say they were drunks. We didn't say, let's go to AA, because AA wasn't available in all neighborhoods, and it wasn't relevant. You know, it wasn't. See, this is different today. We have so many medias. We have, and not, let alone food obsessions and food programs. All we had at that time was like WW and other crazy things that, you know, may have worked for some people but didn't work for everyone. You know, so the revelations came later on in life, but had they come to so many other people, well, we can't talk about what could be, would be, should be, and stuff like that. But that's what came into my mind, is that, you know, how my marriage might have been different, how my whole, the children bringing up had been different. You know, if I knew of the program, if I was aware of the program, or if it became, you know, to me. I make no sense before 10, but sometimes even after 10, so, you know, I'm grateful today. When I did find out about the program in 78, you know, then I, OA, and I did it, and I did everything they told me to do, and I was willing to do it, and I knew all about how, and I knew all this and that. But knowing it and not doing it is another thing. And, so, you know, God is good. God brings you back to the path if you're willing, if I'm willing. And that's what I'm working on right now, is my willingness to listen, my willingness to do, to be. And so, I mean, I read it. I was reading it on my phone, and I got up and I said, let me get the book out. And so I got the book out and I read it over again. You know, just those little things are the willingness that will help me to be recovered or to work on my recovery. So, you know, I just want to say that there are places in the world today, even though they're out of Mongolia and remote places, where people are still suffering and with all kinds of A programs, A need of programs. And so I must remember that. And they always say it's attraction and not promotion. And sometimes that, to me, it's a little of both, you know. But I remember when my talk, my conversation, my walk, everything was reflective of my program and how I was doing, working my program. People used to say, what religion are you? And I said, it's not a religion, you know. It's a spiritual, you know, awakening is a spiritual concept. You know, I'm working on letting God take over my life and following getting up in the morning, turning my will and my life over the care of God is to understand him. You know, so it's about getting back into the fold for me right now.
Time.
So, okay, thank you so very much, and thank you for listening to me, and I pass so others could share.
Thank you very much, Gloria H. And before I take Barbara A., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page XVIII, forward to the second edition. The first paragraph down, in the spring of 1940, John D. Rockefeller. And it ends with AA had become a national institution. And after Barbara, I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning. Again, thank you for your service. This is Barbara A. from Central California, gratefully recovered by the grace of God for today. I was reading through, and I like to compare who John D. Rockefeller might be today. And I have my own opinions about that, but I think very influential, right? Someone people listened to, someone people respected. And of course, with listening to these meetings, people have said, make sure you get the right information. That was really important. So of course, I wanted to go and read this article from the Saturday Evening Post that Jack Alexander wrote. And I haven't read it for a while, but it's a long article, very informative, and really opens up how truly devastating this disease is. I don't think people had an idea, unless they lived with an alcoholic, how really devastating and horrible this disease is. And so grateful that I live in a time where I have ready access to this information. I can look online. I can go to thousands of different meetings that are listed on the internet. This, as people have said, this is the mushrooming process. I had to laugh because I say, how do mushrooms grow? Well, they grow in rotting soil and rotting wood, and they are prolific, and they're different than any other species on the planet. So I kind of like, I like that relation, that my connection with mushrooming and mushrooms and being a compulsive overeater, and how I've grown from this place of rotting and darkness, and I've really been able to grasp the true concept of this program and learn from it and read and share with fellows and have access to a meeting like this. Grateful for today for my recovery. Grateful for your service. And I pass.
Well, thank you very much, Barbara A. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I'm going to take another lineup of names. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Sherry H.M.
Sherry H.M. Who else? The first paragraph down on page XVIII starts with
Lorraine
N. Lorraine,
sorry,
N.
Mom.
Thank you.
Sorry,
right.
I butted in. Mm-hmm.
That's all right. I need you. I need you. So I have Deborah G, Sherry H.M., Lorraine N. Okay, we'll go with that lineup to save time, okay? Give more opportunity to share after them. All right, Deborah G, you're first. Good morning, Deborah.
Oh, good morning. Good morning. Mo, thank you so much for your service this morning, always, and everyone that's made this meeting possible. And welcome, welcome to all the newcomers. So glad you're here and hearing all this. This is so cool. And I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. And I just was thinking when everyone was sharing, I wonder if this is when gratitude got born. You know, because it's like finally finding something that you can label recovered. After so many attempts, probably prior for years and years, how people suffered and died, you know, and then having this experience come about for humanity, for all of us,
and continues to come for all of us. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful experience. And how it flourishes to other areas, other 12-step programs, you know, it's just, and to be part of that along the way, you know, and hearing about all the different things that happened back then in the history with Rockefeller and everyone. I love hearing the history of all this because this is what saved my life. And it gave me a life that I love. And so thank you all for being part of that. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Deborah G. Next, we have Sherry H.M., followed by Lorraine N. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Mo and everybody. Thanks for your service. This is Sherry H.M., gratefully recovered by God's grace and mercy in Mount Vernon, Washington. This paragraph actually speaks to some other reference in our book is that the person was raised from the dead or back from the gates of hell, something like that. And these guys, hopefully women as well, but maybe not quite yet at this stage, they were out there sharing their experience, strength, and hope. And how they had been, you know, basically reborn out of their the horrible jaws of addiction. And that's my story, too. That is most of our stories out here. We were on a path of suicide by fork. And sometimes I could fool myself into thinking, oh, it's not that bad. It's not heroin. It's not this. It's not that. But my health was declining, and I had so many medical bills. That is what finally put me over the edge. I'm like, God, I'm done with all. I've got to figure out something. Please, please, please. And then I remembered my friends in Al-Anon had told me about this program. And so it says in here, those people, they had such a compelling picture. And I've had some opportunities to share. And trying to always use those opportunities when somebody tells me, you know, if I order a latte, no, do you want a sweetened, do you want a flavor? No, how about we have sugar-free, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, no, thank you. I'm actually, you know, not doing that. And I get to share about the program. And it's so beautiful. One time I was looking at some dresses in a thrift store, and a lady said, oh, you're so tiny. I bet those would look beautiful on you. I said, hey, oh gosh. I said, thank you. But you know, that wasn't always the case. And just for clarity, I'm not anorexic. I'm not, you know, I'm not underweight or anything. But anyway, I got the opportunity to share my story. And then she wanted to go to coffee. I asked her, I said, hey, no pressure. But hey, if you want to go, you know, here's my number if you ever want to go. She called me. My husband was driving. We were driving home. And she called me right then. So we do have opportunities to share our experience, strength, and hope. And I'm so grateful to all you guys. And have a wonderful, blessed day. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sherry H.M. Up next is Lorraine N., but before I take her, because I'm going to get another lineup of names after Lorraine, I'll let you know where we're at. We're on page XVIII in the forward to the second edition, and it's the first paragraph. In the spring of 1940, John D. Rockefeller Jr., and it ends with AA had become a national institution. So I'll take Lorraine, and then I'll take another lineup of names. Good morning, Lorraine.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lorraine Ann. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Oregon. And excuse me. I did read this paragraph, and because I was scheduled as a reader today, I looked up the article that Jack Alexander wrote. And it's a pretty lengthy article, and it's wonderful. I mean, it really goes into the, you know, how AA was beginning to grow and expand a mushroom. Anyway, what stood out for me when I read that article is near the end, it says that the one common trait
of all alcoholics is that we are immature. And that just hit me like a ton of bricks, you know. And it also says in step four in the 12 and 12, which the first time I read it, it resonated big time for me. It says the primary fact that we fail to recognize is our total inability to form a true partnership with another human being. You know, our egomania digs two disastrous pitfalls. Either we insist upon dominating the people we know, or we depend on them far too much. And elsewhere in the book, it says that we never grew up. So for me, that's very, very true. You know, I am so grateful for Alcoholics Anonymous, for Bill, Roseanne, and all the people on Visions, because I finally, after decades in OA, have recovery from this, you know, horrible disorder. And best of all, and some people might not agree, but I am growing up at this late date in my life. I'm finally learning how to, you know, be an adult and try to have partnerships with other people that aren't all chaotic. So, you know, that's what stood out for me today, and I thought I'd comment on it. And thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Lorraine N. So although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Laura W. from New Jersey.
I got Laura W.
Christy B.
Christy B.
Liz A.
Liz A. I could take one more.
Pam C.
Pam C. I might be able to take one more. Anybody else? Okay, we'll go with that lineup. I have Laura W., Christy B., Liz A., and Pam C. Everybody else mute your phone except Laura W. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Mo. Thanks so much for your service. Hi, everybody. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. This is a really important paragraph. You know, I was listening to what everybody was sharing, and, you know, it truly is about attraction, not promotion, because I'm going to want to do something if I can see it working in other people. You know, it's easy to watch commercials on TV and, you know, but and see, oh, this works or this doesn't work. But until I actually see it working in somebody and see the transformation in somebody, I'm really not that interested. And, you know, the article about that Jack Alexander wrote was called Alcoholics Anonymous Freed Slaves of Drink, Now They Free Others. And those are some really powerful words in there. I mean, if you really think about being captive and then getting freed, you know, the words are, you know, it talks about when we're trapped, like in the same vessel, and when we're free, that means that we are completely just being controlled by something or somebody else. And you know, they use the words like divorce, like we divorce ourselves on a daily basis from self-pity. And to divorce ourselves is to separate ourselves from something that we once loved. And so to be free in the short amount of time, you know, it shot up in 9 months. So from, I feel like I'm all over the place. I'm sorry. In 9 months, they went from 2,000 members at the end, and then the end of 1941 to 8,000 members in 9 short months. And they didn't have the media that we have today. They didn't have the internet that we have today. They didn't have the Zoom meetings. I mean, imagine how many people we can reach on a daily basis when we practice these principles in all our and it is a national institution, and that's a beautiful thing. So, you know, it's really a beautiful thing to see how the inquiries poured in, because people wanted what these other men and women had. The public was seeing the results of AA. And when people today see the results, when I can carry the message in a kind and loving and not preachy way to somebody who might need it, you know, when they can see that result of my life, maybe they're going to want what we have. And that's all I have to share. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thanks, Laura W. Up next is Christy B., followed by Liz A. Good morning, Christy.
Good morning, Mo. Hi, this is Christy B., recovered just for today in Washington State. And I probably don't have much more to say than has already been said, but it was the mushrooming process that really struck me. And the reason it struck me is because it's happening in OA today with what they're calling the new renaissance of OA with the big book focus. And it was this particular meeting, actually, that brought me some real recovery after almost 20 years in program. And it was another OA fellow that went to the birthday party and got a card, a printed card for a vision for you. And she brought it back and she gave it to me. And I looked at that and I thought, interesting. And other people, oh no, that's a cult, whatever. You know, but I got on the line and it was the only place I had heard real recovery. People talked in such a way that it brought tears to my eyes. I wanted that. I wanted that bad. You know, now it took me a long time to accept that I needed to do everything, you know, that I needed to do. But, you know, when I joined a vision, there was 3,000 members and I thought, wow, this is huge. It has grown so much today. And I still hear people share that bring tears to my eyes. The people that share where they're at when they're face down in the food, your heart goes out to them, you know? And then the ones that say, hang on, the miracle is right around the corner. Believe that. It's true. It's absolutely true. Just a little more than 30 days ago, I was face down in the food. And today, I have all the promises. I didn't even know that was possible. I had no idea. But it is. For any of you that are still suffering out there, don't leave 5 minutes before the miracle happens. And that's all I've got, I pass. Thanks, Mo.
Hey, thank you very much, Christy B. Up next is Liz A, followed by Pam C. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, Mo. This is Liz A from California. So much has been said before me that I so agree with, but one of the things I wanted to know was what kind of circulation the Saturday Evening Post had, and I looked it up, and it said that it was one of the most influential and circulated magazines within the American middle class, and it reached almost 2 million homes every week. Now, if you don't see God's guiding hand in this whole mushroom process, I mean, what are the chances that someone would write about this little fledgling society, you know, that they would extol its virtues? And so I see God in every instance that this happened. And, you know, this foreword was written years after 41. It was written in 1955. And so it just, they're looking back and seeing the miracle and how it works and how we pass it on with our stories. And I agree with previous sharers that vision, my saving grace, because it made me look at each paragraph, which was divinely inspired, and it gave me peace and it gave me my God of my own understanding. Anyway, with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Liz A. And up next, I'll take Pam C. And I might have time for one more after Pam. Good morning, Pam.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Pam C., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Jersey. I happen to be off today, so have the privilege of being on this meeting with all of you, so thank you. This reading caused me to reflect on my own history in Overeaters Anonymous, and my very first meeting in OA was in 1983, so 40 years ago, and it's no coincidence that it was a big book meeting. And of course, I was a very young person and had no clue what all of those people were talking about. It seemed so strange to me. But I did purchase a copy of this book back then. I still have it. I just checked in my bookcase, and I thought it was a third edition, but it's not. It's a fourth edition. But anyway, I've had a history of relapse, and in all those years, I have had periods of long-term sobriety. But it's only this past year that I am recovered and entirely abstinent. And it's always the book that draws me back. I know for me, my belief is that it is God inspired, and all the answers are in the big book for me. I had an opportunity to be away with my mom this past weekend, and she's recovered 26 years now in another fellowship, and I was able to share with her, because we can have these conversations, which is an amazing gift, that I can remember even as a little girl wanting so desperately to have a relationship with God and praying to God, and my prayers weren't being answered. And I shared with her, I wasn't asking for a new bicycle or the doll I wanted. You know, I was asking to be a better kid so that things, you know, so that we could have a better home life, feeling so responsible, you know. And it wasn't until I found these rooms that I found God. That is where my spirituality came from. It, you know, all of those years, even though I had relapses, it wasn't lost. There was recovery that was happening. And I'm just so grateful today because I really have a relationship with a higher power today that continues to grow. And I feel so blessed. The blessings are just amazing to me. And this is, you know, this is where the answer is for me, and I have the privilege of being able to share my experience today with others who are suffering or struggling in this disease. So thank you all for being here, and I pass.
Thank you, Pam C. We have time for about a one-minute share if anybody has a burning desire.
This is Donna B. from Denver.
Okay, Donna, I can give you 1 minute.
Okay, that's great. I'm Donna B., spelled D-A-N-A. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, binge purge bulimic, and exercise bulimic in Denver. And I was at a Zoom meeting last week, and at the very end of the meeting, a young man shared his plight with food, and he was sobbing hysterically, and sort of after the meeting, and it was amazing to me that each one of us shared, in essence, the same exact story, which is, I suffered, I came, I learned, I recovered, and you should have hope. And delivering a message of hope is, it's a beautiful message to deliver. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much, Donna B., for keeping it short. So thank you, everybody, for being on the meeting this morning and sharing your experience, strength, and hope. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I'm going to ask Lorraine N. to read a vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Lorraine.
Good morning again, Mo and everyone. Our vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God.
admit your faults to him and to your fellows, clear away the wreckage of your past, give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.